We began a series last week, and I'm taking a break already, okay? So today I'm going to do something here. We're going to kind of consider today a stewardship day, if you will. And I want to share some things about the stewardship of your life, the stewardship of your finances. And I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to begin reading some very familiar verses that you probably have known for quite some time. But the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Could you say the next verse with me, maybe by memory? "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path." I bet you learned that in Sunday school, didn't you? Well, look at verse number 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." This morning, I would like to just share a few moments on this subject, principles of giving. Principles of giving. Let's pray together. Lord, may you just guide us here today. May you be pleased with everything that is said. May I just simply be a conduit for the Master's use. May the Word of God just simply flow through me. May I not allow it to stop and try to put in my own thoughts and my own wording, but may it be that everything you desire to be said, may it be said. And I thank you. Work in our hearts today. May Calvary Baptist Church be better because we were in thy house, heard thy word, and applied the word of God. Thank you again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. About once a year, I attempt to go ahead and share with you a Bible message related to the stewardship of our life, and very specifically, to the stewardship of our tithes and offerings. Now, if you're visiting here today, and maybe you don't attend church very often, you might think, oh, another message, or the preacher's talking about money again. Now, the God's honest truth here, I don't preach on money very often. In fact, I think it was about a year ago is when I preached specifically. Now, in messages, I might touch on it here and there, but to take a very specific message and talk about it is rare. But I believe it is important for me as a preacher to preach the whole counsel of God. I can't just shy away from subjects because I feel like I want to shy away. And so I know that when it comes to money, already some of you are going to tune me out. Probably some of you that have hearing aids already went, oh, we're turning that one down. Well, it kind of reminds me of the pastor of a church that did. He pastored a church that did not have a reputation about being very generous. And so he decided it was time to do something very drastic to relate to his people of the importance of giving. So he contracted an electrician to come in and have all of the pews wired. The next Sunday, which was the first Sunday of the new year, the time when the church traditionally would take up their pledges, the pastor stood up and made the following announcement. "From now on, instead of putting your pledges in sealed envelopes and turning them into the church office, all pledges will be made publicly here in the worship service." And so he said, "Let's get started. All of you who will pledge $50 a week, please stand up." Well, as soon as he had said this, he had pushed a button underneath that the electrician had installed in the pulpit, and it sent a jolt of electricity through the wires and into the pews. Immediately, about half of the congregation jumped to their feet. Pastor had a big smile on his face. He then reached down and adjusted a little knob on the podium and then said, "Now, all of you that will pledge $75 a week, please stand." Well, a second and stronger volt of electricity caused several more to rise to their feet. This whole process was repeated several times, And each time the pledge amount was raised along with the voltage. Boy, the ushers were working fast that morning to collect all the names and all the pledges. Well, after the service, the pastor and the giving committee were there going through all the names and counting everything when a deacon enthusiastically came in, opened the door, and announced that four church members had been electrocuted because they refused to stand. Now, how many of you next week are going to start looking at the pews and see if they're wired? We wouldn't do that here. Trust me on that. But if you talk to many Christians, you'd think that this is what preachers always talk about. And sadly, that many of the TV evangelists have ruined it for preachers like myself. Many of them get on television. Many of them in their churches are constantly talking about money and encouraging people to constantly give. And I think that is a crying shame. Many of these men are just simply greedy. There was a particular farmer that called the office of a famous televangelist. And here's how he started. The secretary answered the phone. He said, "May I talk to the head hog at the trough?" The receptionist was very shocked. She said, "Sir, if you're talking about our pastor, you may refer to him as doctor or reverend, but I don't think it would be proper for you or anyone else to call him the head hog at the trough." "Well, all right," the farmer said. "I just sold a few sows and was going to donate $10,000 to the building fund, and I was hoping to catch him." And upon hearing this, the reception quickly said, "Oh, just a minute. I think the big pig just walked in just now." Now, I'm trying to get you to laugh a little bit because this is a serious subject. I think it's important for you and I to recognize, number one, that it is imperative that I preach every once in a while on a subject like this. It's important that we're taught about giving, but it's also important that we're motivated with regards to giving. Now, I can't do the motivating. I can preach and I can share the Word of God, but it is important for you to come before God and say, "God, what am I doing? Can I do better? And am I giving my total life to Thee?" That's the important part. Before I get into the message and just dive into this passage, I want to make a very important statement that I think will set the tone for this whole message today. It's a truth that very simply needs to be applied. Understand this statement. It's very simple. Here it is. Money is a spiritual issue. Money is a spiritual issue. Well, you say, "Preacher, how in the world is money a spiritual issue?" Well, it's been estimated that outside of the subject of love, that Jesus spoke more about money than he did any other subject, including heaven and hell. Now, you say, "Well, why again do you say that money is a spiritual matter? Because of this reason, there is a fundamental link between our spiritual lives and how we handle our money. It has often been said that if you can go through a person's account, maybe their checkbook register, and I know most of the millennials don't even know what a checkbook is today, but if you could go through where they show all of their spending, you will learn a lot about a person's life. What are some of the principles laid out in these verses concerning the giving of our finances? Four principles I'm going to share with you. The first principle is this: the principle of trust. The principle of trust. Now, don't you love verses 5 and 6? Probably when you were just a child, you memorized these verses in Sunday school. I'd have to think, I've been thinking the last week or so when I first learned this, and I can't remember, but it seems like I've always known these verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He, that's God, shall direct thy paths. Now, what great verses with regards to life, is it not? If you find yourself in troubling circumstances, trusting in the Lord and not leaning on your own understanding is a great way to go. If you find yourself having to make a decision, trusting in the Lord and not leaning on your own understanding are great principles to apply. But would you note something with me that these verses, 5 and 6, are connected together with verses 9 and 10? Now, I know sometimes we like to keep this separate and we like to say, well, look, trust in the Lord has to do with all these things of life and money is just a separate issue. We talk about mammon and we talk about all these things. No. Your giving, your money, the things that you own and what you do with it, all is related to your trust in God. The question that has to be asked of you and I today is, if you and I are talked to by God and prompted by God and commanded by God to give to God, why is it that many of us do not give? Why is it that many of us do not give what is expected of us by God? And I dare say the reason to those answers probably comes down to a trust factor. You see, we look at our whole overall budget. We look at everything that we need to spend for. We pay for our fuel and our food and our housing and all these other expenses that we have. And we think to ourselves, well, now, wait a minute. God's asking for 10%. How in the world can I live on 90%? My friend, it is a trust principle. It's a trust principle. You see, if you can trust God for your salvation, can't you trust Him to take care of your needs? If you can trust God for making decisions in life, if you can trust God in the circumstances, you certainly can trust Him in the area of money. There's a church member that was one day having trouble dealing with the concept of tithing. One day he got with the pastor and revealed his doubts to him. And he said, Pastor, he says, I just don't see how I can give 10% of my income to the church when I can't even stay on top of my bills right now. So the pastor looked at him, he said, Sam, if I promise to pay your bills if you fall short, do you think you could try tithing for 1 month? And so Sam thought about it a moment. He said, sure, if you promise to help me out if I fall short, then I guess I could try it for 1 month. The pastor looked at him, he said, now what do you think of that? You say you'd be willing to put your trust in a poor preacher like myself who doesn't even own a home, but you can't seem to trust your heavenly Father who owns the entire universe. My friend, I want to tell you something. Giving has to do with trust. Number two principle I share with you is this. It is the principle of worship. Worship. Notice in verse number 9, this word, honor. Honor. Now, where do we use the word honor? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible talks about honoring thy mother and thy father. We're to give the reverence to them that is deserved of them because of the position that they're in. You and I are to honor God. That is, we're to give our allegiance to God. We're to respect Him for who He is. And we think of honor in just the sense of what we say of God, or maybe the fact we show up for church. And really, honor is an idea of worship here. I am coming before the Lord today, and every service that I come here to Calvary Baptist Church is a worship service for me. I'm giving my honor and my worship to the Lord. And I'm here to remind you today that as you give your tithes and offerings, you know what you're doing with that? You're honoring the Lord. You're worshiping the Lord. In essence, as you bring that tithe and offering to the Lord, you are saying to the Lord, Lord, thank you for what you have supplied for me. Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. And I'll tell you, every time that I've been able to give unto the Lord, it is a way of my saying, thank you, Lord, because I get to live today and buy things and have a home to live in and have a vehicle to drive. And so therefore, I'm giving unto you and I'm saying, thank you. I'm grateful today. I'm honoring the Lord. I think about those wise men. I know we just passed Christmas here. But I think about those wise men that came to the Lord. Those wise men that came, they brought the gifts, frankincense and gold and myrrh, and they laid those as an act of worship before the Lord. If you think of those three gifts that they brought, they literally were gifts that had to do with their worship. And my friend, when you give your tithes and offerings, you're honoring the Lord. So number one, principle of trust. Number two, a principle of worship. But number three, notice a principle of priority. Principle of priority. I draw your attention here to verses 9 again. Verse 9, where it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the, could you give me the next word? First fruits. Could you say that all together? First fruits. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, I don't know how familiar you are in the Bible with the feasts that are listed in the Old Testament. Sometimes we read through the Old Testament and we read about these feasts and festivities and all these things, and we just don't understand it. We don't relate to it at all. But there was a particular feast that the Israelites had to perform. It was called the Feast of First Fruits. You can read about it in Leviticus chapter number 23, beginning at verse number 9 through 14. And what the first fruits feast was all about is that in the fall, all of the grains were planted here, and in the springtime they were harvested. But when it came down to the springtime and the time for harvest, there were some very specific stipulations given to the Israelites that had to do with their worship before God and had to do with their recognition that everything they had came from God. Before they picked all of the grain in the springtime for their own harvesting and for their eating, it was required and given in the law that they picked out one sheaf and they brought it to the temple to the priest. Now, the priest would take that sheaf, and what he would do is, as a prayer, if you will, of dedication, he would wave that. And that's why we call it the wave sheaf. He would wave that before the Lord. And you say, again, I mean, it just seems kind of silly to us. We don't have any recognition of this. But what was the purpose of them picking that one sheaf, bring it to the priest, and that priest waving it before the Lord? Because as that priest waved it before the Lord, representing that Israelite, it was both of them, in essence, saying to God, God, this is yours. I'm giving this to you first. It was the best of what they had. It was first given to God. And in essence, all of that was done for three specific reasons. Number one, they were giving their best to God. Number two, they were making sure that God was purifying the whole crop. You see, that Israelite coming before God is saying, God, I'm giving you first, and I'm giving you my best. And please, Lord, would you make sure that I have enough that is raised up in order to take care of my family and meet my needs? You know what happens when you tithe to the Lord? You're giving your first 10%. What is a tithe? That is 10%. You're giving it to the Lord. And in essence, like these first fruits, if you will, you're being able to say before God, God, I'm giving you 10%. Would you stretch that 90% to cover everything I need to do? Lord, would you help me in these areas? Now, I know today some of you that consider yourselves Bible scholars, are going to go ahead and say, well, preacher, now, look, we're in the New Testament era, and we don't really tithe, and tithe was under the law. Where do you find that in the Bible? You see, if you were to go back, and I don't have time, I wish I had time this morning to go back to Genesis chapter number 14, where Abraham had given to this particular king of Salem, known as Melchizedek, and I tell you, all the explanation and things of who he is fascinating to study, but as a representative of God here, this man, Abraham gave him a tithe of all he had earned. Now, Abraham, let's get in perspective of where Abraham is. Abraham is 430 years at least before the law was ever given. And yet, what's the principle that he gave? A tithe. Now, we come down to Moses, and Moses commanded the tithe. That was something that was to be given. But then we go down further, and Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi then further enhances things about the tithe and talks about the fact that if we don't give the tithe, we're robbing God. But now we come to the New Testament era. Jesus wasn't silent about the tithe. In fact, Jesus commended it. And then we come down to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 2. You know what Paul said? Bring your tithes into the storehouse, if you will. Bring them into God's house the first day of the week. So all through Scripture, I can see that it is imperative. Now you say, Pastor, does that mean that God just locks me in on 10% and I'm not going to give 11%? I'm not going to give 15%? I'm going to just tell you something. You and I today are under grace. I think the starting point for us is a 10% before God. But as God begins to work on your heart, you give what God prompts you to do. And I'll guarantee you that when you begin giving to God and doing what God asks you to do, God is going to bless in a great way. Lastly, I come to this principle. It's the principle of trust, the principle of worship, the principle of priority. But now notice in verse number 10, the principle of provision. Look at this. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. We were talking about people who understood about farming, people who understood about producing here grapes and the juice that would flow through. God is talking through Solomon here and writing about the fact that when you honor the Lord with your substance, when you bring in the first fruits of your increase, those barns that are going to hold everything are going to burst forth. Those presses are going to come forth in great measure. God is making a promise to you that if you give, He'll give in return. I think that promise is given over and over in the Bible. When Abraham gave unto Melchizedek, Melchizedek returned favor upon Abraham. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, the Bible says, give. You know the rest of it? And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. It really is a principle of life. Someone once wrote these words, the more you give, the more you receive. The more you laugh, the less you fret. The more you do unselfishly, the more you live abundantly. The more of everything you share, the more you'll always have to share. The more you help, the more you're kind. The more you love, the more you'll find. For only what we give away enriches us from day to day. How important it is for us to give unto the Lord. Now, I've just taken here and given you from this passage of Scripture four simple principles with regards to the stewardship of your finances. Number one, do you trust God enough to give unto Him? Number two, it's an act of worship. It's a principle of worship. Number three, there should be a priority. There should be a priority in what I give, at least the 10% that I give. But then there's a priority on the day of the week. God encourages us as we gather together that we give unto the Lord. But number four, there's a principle of God's promises given. Questions for you today in closing is this. Does God have all of you? You see, we can talk about giving all we want. We can talk about finances, and we can talk about how much we ought to give, and we can talk about your budget and everything else. But truly, the question, the greater question is this. Does God have you? Because if God has you, and you're His, and you're yielded to Him, then the money question, the money issue is not an issue at all. When God has you, He's got your wallet. You say, preacher, I'm scared. What if God takes more? My friend, God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God's going to take care of you. He's going to see fit that as you regularly give unto Him, He supplies back to you. I close with this here today. One young pastor who was really young, just fresh out of seminary, was preaching on tithing. And he said, as he related later, he said, when I spoke on tithing, he said, I felt like I was getting louder and louder in preaching about it. But when the service was over, there was a 35-year-old attorney that came walking down the aisle and had a very serious look on his face. You could see the distress in his face, the pastor said. And this attorney walked up and he said, preacher, I need to talk to you about this tithing thing. So the pastor said, fine. He said, when? This afternoon. Well, they got together that afternoon and began to talk. And here's what the attorney said to him. I went shopping this week to buy two brand new suits. As I purchased the suits, I gave my credit card to the clerk. And after a while, he came back and said, can't use this card. It's over the limit. He said he was so embarrassed, but he got another card out and gave it to him. And the clerk came back and said, can't use this card. It's over the limit. I gave him two other credit cards. He brought them both back and said, they're both over the limit. And he said to the preacher, he said, I make six times what you make. He says, I own three luxury automobiles. I make maximum payments on those. I own a beautiful home and lots of other things. I'm making maximum payments on all of that. I'm making all of this money, and I can't afford anything. I can't afford a tithe. After you preached this morning, you said to the preacher, I know it's God's will for me to tithe, but I can't afford to do it. Well, in wisdom far beyond his years, the young pastor looked at this attorney and he said, my friend, you can't afford not to tithe. You're going to be living and spending impulsively and not have anything all the rest of your life if you don't come under God's discipline of managing your money. You're 35 years old. You didn't get this way overnight. Take some time, but make it a goal to become a tither. 2 weeks later, that young lawyer walked down the aisle at the end of a service and said, my wife and I have decided that somehow right now we're going to begin to tithe to the Lord through our local church. And they did that. And years have passed on. And the attorney said, for the first time in my life, I learned how to be in control of my money and not impulsively get caught up in all the spending. I had to discipline myself to make sure that the Lord had 10% of my income, and I learned how to control the rest of my money. You know, we live in a day today where debt is at an all-time high. As I preach on a message like this, many of you, and I share this illustration that took place of a young lawyer, you say to yourself, preacher, I'm having a hard time too because I'm in a lot of debt. And I can't figure out where to give. My friend, I can't get into every scenario. And every scenario and every case right in this auditorium is different. But could I encourage you today to just make a decision? Lord, I'm going to give. I'm here to tell you, you're not giving just to Calvary Baptist Church. You're giving to the Lord. You say, oh, preacher, you just want our money. No, I don't. The deacons might, but I don't. Truthfully, I'm not here today because for any personal gain. I'm not here for the sake of making Calvary Baptist Church the richest church. That is of none of my concern. My concern is for you as an individual before God, that you would be obedient to God and that you would prosper as God would have you prosper. Let God take care of all the rest. They say, Pastor, what type of things are going on here? Let me just tell you, have you ever looked around this campus and seen all the needs? A lot of things need to be done. A lot of souls need to be won. More missionaries need to be sent. Things need to be accomplished. And the way to accomplish those things is through the giving of God's people. I just thought to myself over the last year, if every person in here tithed, our giving would be far beyond what we're doing right now. So I encourage you today to think about what it is of my life and of my possessions that I have before God. Let's pray together. Lord, this is a difficult message. I wrestled with this all week. In my flesh, I didn't want to